This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2021. I'm Father Alexis, and we are reading through the Scriptures each day of the year using the Orthodox Study Bible. Today is day 59 of our readings, and it's February 28. So today we will be reading from Exodus chapter 9, Psalm 51, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, and Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 56. We are in the middle of the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt so that Pharaoh would set the people of Israel free. Moses and Aaron are going back and forth trying to convince Pharaoh to let them go by threatening him with these plagues, but he just can't get himself to lose this slave workforce. So far, we've seen water turn to blood, frogs, lice, and swarms of flies. Pretty nasty. Well, we still have six more to go before this will be over. Today we will start with the plague of a pestilence on the Egyptian livestock. And today's and tomorrow's Proverbs section is also read at Friday Vespers in the third week of Great Lent. Now to the readings. Let's begin. Exodus chapter 9.
Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go so they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the fields, on the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the oxen, and the sheep, a very severe pestilence. Then I will make a clear distinction between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel.' Then God appointed a set time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the cattle of the Egyptians died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one among the cattle of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and let it become dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils to break out and sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' So they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils to break out and sores on man and beast. Now the sorcerers could not stand before Moses because of the sores, for the sores were on the sorcerers and in all the land of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not heed them, as the Lord said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go so they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues into your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know there is not another such as I in all the earth. For now I will stretch forth my hand and smite you, and kill your people, and you will be cut off from the earth. But for this very reason were you preserved, that I might display in you my strength, and that my name might be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, hurry now and gather your cattle and all you have in the fields, for the hail shall come down on every man and animal found in the fields, and whatever is not brought home shall die. Thus he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh gathered his cattle into the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and cattle in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there shall be hail in all the land of Egypt, both on man and cattle, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." So Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. Thus the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. This hail and the fire mingled with it were so heavy, there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And throughout the whole land of Egypt it struck both man and cattle, and every herb of the field, and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are ungodly. Therefore pray for me to the Lord, and let him cause the thunderings of God to cease, and the hail and fire, for I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." So Moses said to him, "As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord, the thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail and rain, that you may know the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know you will not yet fear the Lord." Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was ripe and the flax was beginning to seed. But as for the wheat and the rye, they were not struck, for they were late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. Thus, when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, and the heart of his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord said to Moses. Psalm 51. When Doeg the Edomite came and reported to Saul and said, "David went to the house of Abimelech, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man, and in lawlessness all the day long? Your tongue devises wrongdoing, your work deceit like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, wickedness rather than speaking righteousness. You love all the works of destruction, you love a deceitful tongue. Therefore God shall destroy you completely. He shall pluck you up and remove you from your dwelling, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, 'Behold, this man did not make God his helper, but hoped in the abundance of his riches, and he was made powerful in his vanity. But I am like a fruitful olive tree in the house of God. I hope in God's mercy for ever and unto ages of ages. I will give thanks to you forever for what you did, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the sight of your holy ones.'" Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Deceitful scales are an abomination before the Lord, but a righteous weight is acceptable to him. Wherever arrogance enters, there also is dishonor. But the mouth of the humble meditates on wisdom. When a righteous man dies, he leaves regret. But the destruction of the ungodly is immediate and brings joy. Righteousness cuts straight and blameless paths, but ungodliness embraces wrongdoing. The righteousness of upright men delivers them, but lawless men are taken to their destruction. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 56. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five, and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well.
We began today's New Testament reading in Mark with the following verse. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. As you remember, they had been sent out by Jesus in our reading from yesterday. Verse 7 reads, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out, 2 by 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits." I'd like to look at the word apostle today. We talk about the 12 apostles, about our apostolic faith, how some saints are called equals to the apostles. What does the word apostle actually mean? And how is it different from disciple, because we hear these same people being called the 12 disciples at times? Well, disciple means one who is learning. We get the word discipline from the same root. The disciples were learning from Jesus. He was their teacher. And by extension, we are all disciples as well. We are all learning. Apostle means to be sent out. as in sent out on a mission. So in yesterday's reading, when we heard, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits," the word in Greek for send them out is apostelin. So the apostles were a certain group of disciples with a particular purpose, to go out and evangelize. There were many followers or disciples of Jesus, but only the 12 apostles. Later on, in Luke's gospel, we will hear about a group of 70 who were sent out on a mission to evangelize, and we call these the 70 apostles. So the 12 are kind of the inner core. The 70 are part of a larger group of devout followers ready for mission work. We remember the 12 apostles on June 30 and the 70 apostles on January 4 in the church calendar. Not every follower of Jesus, not every disciple was an apostle. But the Lord certainly needed apostles. He was not to simply do everything without the work of the others to help spread the message. I guess it could have been like that. Jesus talks, people listen. But it didn't work that way. The apostolic work was to be shared with some or even many of the disciples. Not all, but many. It makes me think of the work of the church today. Certainly the priests are doing apostolic work. They are sent out to their parishes by the bishop, but they can't do all the work alone. The people, the body of Christ, are also involved. Now, maybe not everyone is involved in the work of the parish community, but many should be. The message of the gospel is not proclaimed simply by the priest alone, but by the cooperative work of the community together. Many people take different roles within the community in order that the message might be proclaimed. Like the apostles who were sent by the Lord, who weren't lone rangers doing their own thing, so today's workers in the parish, whether they be in the different organizations, parish councils, choir, chanters, serving in the altar, teachers, facility managers, whatever their role might be, they also are not lone rangers, but they do a type of apostolic work by being sent out for the purpose of the church's mission. The spirit of cooperation with each other, and ultimately cooperation or synergy with God, is always present. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.